A little over a year ago, in this very room, in a program called Butterflies and Penguins, the Ralph and Joe Show, I sang a new song right here that I had written. It was a love song to my wife, Jo. It was really a song about language. It was the first time she'd heard that song. The title, My Favorite Sounds. The song began with the words, I love the sound of your voice. You bring me joy, you bring me love. I love the sound of your voice. The song was basically a song about the language of laughter. It also had the language of growling. And Joe joined in and did a little growling during the song. Can I hear a growl? There you go. One verse was about the language of crying. Sad sounds of grief. Holy sounds of love. Joe literally cried during that verse, which she knew I had written it about the death of her son. I especially love one verse that, to be honest, on occasion, every once in a while in our home, I break out in song with this verse. Sometimes I get the look. Oh my, what have I done? You don't have to say a word. Sometimes I get the look. Like right now. That verse is obviously about nonverbal language. That love song was about how the language of love comes to us in ways other than words, in laughter, in growls, in the look, in tears. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit, they understood God's language like never before. God spoke in a sound like the rush of a mighty wind, in tongues of fire resting upon each disciple. God spoke that day, and people from all over the world heard the voice of God in their own languages. In our first reading today from Acts chapter 2, we heard how the Holy Spirit came to the disciples and then to the crowd. And our reading gave us the very first part of Peter's sermon on that day. Listen to a summary of the rest of Peter's sermon to the crowds. He continues, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, who did mighty signs and wonders, was crucified and put to death. And then God raised him from the dead. And then he was lifted up to heaven and is now at the right hand of God and has poured out the promised Holy Spirit. This is what you see and hear. Peter was telling them that everything that is happening in this place right now is because Jesus has poured out the Holy Spirit upon the people. Peter's sermon and the whole day of Pentecost had a single purpose: to tell and to spread the story of Jesus. To spread that story over the entire world. This is the work of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Today is another day of Pentecost. And we believe that God is still speaking in the world today. Our calling as disciples is to listen and to understand God's language, and then to use that language in our daily lives. God speaks to human beings. God speaks to us, and then God speaks through human beings. God speaks through us. We are agents of God's language. And our calling as the church is to learn God's language. And once you've learned God's language, you bring it to the world. I'm honored and blessed to be able to craft and deliver a sermon every week. But this is only one way that God's language gets conveyed. When disciples speak God's language, it comes in many different forms. It comes in words like, I'll pray for you. I'm sorry you're hurting. Tell me what's going on with you. Disciples say to others, God loves you. God's language can be spoken in very simple forms. In words like, thank you. How can I help you? God's language is spoken in words like, I'm sorry. And I forgive you. God's language might even be heard in sentences like, here, have a piece of pie. God's language is verbal and nonverbal. In fact, God's language has infinite expressions. And anyone can learn God's language. I remember a Sunday a ton of years ago when two church members entered worship just before communion. My immediate internal reaction was, they missed hearing God's word. Following worship, I learned that they were outside the sanctuary talking about a life-changing event. They were, after all, right where the Spirit wanted them. My initial reaction was wrong. They didn't miss God's word at all. God's language was heard and was spoken in their conversation. And God's language was spoken when they came to communion to receive the bread and the wine, hearing God's language, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. God's language is spoken in Holy Communion. This is my life. This is my love for you. Now, God's language isn't always pleasant. Some of you have even heard me say the sentence, the Holy Spirit slapped me up the side of the head. That's happened to me a lot in my life. Sometimes God's language is spoken to sin. God's language, when you look at sin, can be spoken with a strong, stop it. Other times it's with a gentle voice from God. I forgive you. No matter how God's language comes to us, strong or gentle, and God's word does come to us sometimes strong and other times gentle. But it's always, always, always the language of love. If our words and our actions are unkind or hurtful, They are not God's language. I want to repeat that. If our words or our actions are unkind or hurtful, they are not God's language. One day, Charlie Brown was lying on the ground with his head resting on a stone. Lucy comes by and watches him, and Charlie Brown looks up and says, "If I tell you something, will you promise not to laugh?" And Lucy says, "Oh, I promise." Charlie then says, "Sometimes I lie awake at night listening for a voice that will say, 'I love you, Charlie Brown.'" And Lucy bursts out in ridiculing laughter. That was hurtful, hurtful laughter. The comic strip reminds us that everyone needs to be loved. All people, everyone needs to hear a voice that says, "I love you." It's wrong when the only thing that people hear is language that's unkind and hurtful. If we're going to judge another person, our judgment should be this: they need love. If we're going to judge another person, our judgment needs to be they are in deep need of God's love. God is saying to every human being, "I love you." And we, as disciples of Jesus, want every single human being to be able to hear God saying, "I love you." The message of Pentecost is that all people can understand God's language, no matter their situation. And it's our calling as church to bring the message of God's love, to bring the message of God's salvation through Christ to the whole world in language that everyone can understand. And Pentecost is a celebration that reminds us we can't do this alone. We need God's Holy Spirit. We can only be agents of God's language, of God's voice, with the help and with the guidance and with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The real gift of Pentecost isn't tongues of fire or a mighty wind or even a translated language. The real gift of Pentecost is hearing in every language the promise of God's gift of eternal life. The real gift of Pentecost is receiving God's love. And with the receiving of God's love, having the impulse to bring God's love to others. The real gift of Pentecost is God's love. Let us pray. Pray for those you know whose lives are like Charlie Brown's, lying outside with their head on a rock, needing God's love. And pray that they will hear the voice of God. "I love you." Pray for those who are facing life-changing moments, troubling times. Pray for those who struggle, those who grieve, those who hurt in any way. and pray that as they have these experiences, they will clearly hear the voice of God saying to them, I love you. Pray for the church, that we will bring God's love with us wherever we go. Pray that we will hear the voice of God and become inspired to bring that voice to others. God says to the church, I love you. And as we pray, let's pray together three times the traditional Pentecost prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray this with me three times. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And God answers our prayer. I love you. I love you. I love you.